On this week's show, is Retro Studios closing down? Oh, say it ain't so. Andy, say it ain't so.
Say it ain't so.
Yeah, there you go. See, I got you singing already.
That's
Switch sales double post E3. That's kind of big stuff. And Nintendo apparently has a few more surprises up its sleeve. Finally, Andy has put me in under official contract that I have to warn you. We have to apologize in advance for this week's hype zone. So please be forewarned. Find out just how low we can go on Nintendo Dual Screens, episode 54. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Nintendo Dual Screens, episode 54 for the week of July 9th, 2018. I am Stephen Fontana, and as always, with me, arm in arm, is Andy Asimakis. How are you doing, Andy?
Yo, how's it going, Stephen?
I'm a little hoarse. My voice is a little hoarse.
A little hoarse today?
It's a little hoarse, so I'll be...
What were you doing last night?
Oh, you know, just... barbecuing, and
we did spend the night together.
We did.
You're wondering.
We hung out yesterday at my family's 4th of July weekend bash. We ate a lot of barbecue. The grill went back on at 10:30. There was some beers consumed. It was a wonderful time.
It was very lovely.
We had a good time.
Very lovely.
But that's not what you're here for. You're here for the Nintendo stuff. For those of you who are new here to NDS Podcast, this is a show where Andy and I go over the Nintendo news you absolutely need to know about, and we have an open discussion about Nintendo's past, present, and future. Nintendo Dual Screens posts each and every Monday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, and that includes iHeartRadio. You can support our show on Patreon by going to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our Patreon producer, Colton Nessler. Thank you so much, Colton. We cannot continue to grow without your support. And remember, folks, for as little as $1, you could back us for as little as $1, and you get access to our super secret Discord channel. And also, if you back us for $10, you get our special pre and or post show audio. Which we just finished recording, and it was fun. We had a good time. Good discussion. It was a good discussion. So you should totally do that. If you want to be a part of the show, you could do so by emailing us all of your questions and comments and concerns to feedback@ndspodcast. So that's it. That's the top of the show. That's all the shit you need to know about. But before we get into this whole Nintendo thing, the lead story in the Nintendo News Report, Andy, let's do our new segment, new-ish segments, week three. What should we be playing? And we'll start with you.
Well, Steven, you should be playing Pocket Rumble for the Switch.
Pocket Rumble.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
It was released last week. Now, this game was a Kickstarter campaign, which I believe launched maybe two-ish years ago.
Okay.
And it is a... It is a 2D fighting game that was inspired by the SNK Classic Fighters.
Okay.
Of the arcades of yesteryear. But it has like a Neo Geo Pocket aesthetic to it. So simple sprites.
Okay.
It's got a bunch of fun characters. It has online mode. So yeah, you can't go wrong with that. So if you like games like Street Fighter, but for more cutesy 8-bit retro style aesthetic, I pick up Pocket Rumble. It's a lot of fun.
Okay. I'm not gonna make any judgments. I'm not a big fighting game guy, but
you aren't, but I am.
Yeah. You are, aren't you?
Yeah. You know, I was at the arcades my entire childhood. That's all I did. Was play Mortal Kombat, X-Men vs Street Fighter.
I was a fan of the brawlers. I was a fan of the side scroller beat 'em ups and the light gun games. I was a fan of those. The Time Crises of the, if you will, the Aerosmith game.
Oh, Revolution X.
Yeah.
Revolution X. God, that was the best.
That
ever.
That was the 90s is what it was.
God, when I got that game on PS1, I died. I had to die. It was just so good.
I turned on the 3DS, man, and I went back to and I started playing Pokemon again. I never finished Pokemon Moon, and I've been marathoning the Pokemon anime series, and it's got my juices going, and I want to be the very best that no one ever was. To catch them is my real quest. To train them is my cause, though.
Yes, it is. And I'm really thankful for this segment because not enough people know that they should be playing a Pokemon game.
Well, it's really for you because I know you kind of lost your way with the Pokemon. And I saw that you did a little backdoor stuff and you were playing Pokemon Moon in stunning HD
on your computer.
Mm. Yeah, so I know that you're not taking it seriously based on your character's name.
We'll have to put that in the Facebook group. let's leave that, you know. Mm. We'll put a bit in that for later.
Yeah.
Leave folks hanging.
So I just think that, so instead of what I think you should all be playing, I think you should all rewatch the Pokemon series.
Okay.
Find season one and just rewatch it because it is, I mean, I could sit here and say that it's not the greatest thing in the world. It's not the greatest anime. It's not going to be that. But it is so, like, sweet and funny and fun, and it just makes me instantly happy. I usually sit there and I just put it on at my desk at work. I'll just put it in a little stand, my phone, and I'll just work, and I'll, you know, be watching and listening and all that stuff. It's great. And I think you should all do that. So that's what you should do. And then you'll pick up your Pokemon on your 3DS and get ready for this fall when Pokemon Let's Go, Pikachu, and Eevee come out.
Yeah, and then you can hear Steven bombard you with insane theories about Ash being dead and being locked in some sort of...
he's dead. There's no doubt in my mind.
Paradise of heaven that the Poke Gods created for him for some reason.
So episode one...
Pidgeys killed him? What was it
no,
again?
No, the Spearow...
Oh, okay. Well,
they're chasing Pikachu and Ash. They fall or whatever. They're, you know, whatever. Pikachu does a huge blast. They wake up and then he looks up and he sees Oho, the legendary bird Pokemon, fly overhead, which, by the way, that Pokemon is not in the first generation of games. He comes later. So and the whole, and if you know Oho's backstory, is that he or she, I don't know what it is, it effectively grants wishes, kind of, in a way. So the theory is that Ash and Pikachu, they get killed, and Oho sees this trainer is desperate to be the very best in the world, and creates this elaborate afterlife that Ash gets to be a Pokemon master.
Whose wish is he granting in that scenario?
It's Ash's wish.
But he's dead?
Right. He basically, that's why he's always 10 years old in every series. It's been 20 years and he's still 10 years old. He's traveled the world twice over and he hasn't aged.
So you're saying to me that a Pokemon somehow can influence the afterlife of a human being?
Well, he's dead, and he's given him like almost like a purgatory, but like an afterlife where he lives all of eternity in his happy place, which is being a Pokemon trainer. Like, he does really weird shit in the series. Like, he doesn't catch any Pokemon, like barely any Pokemon, and that they make that very clear. That he has like 7 Pokemon and Gary has like 40 at one point.
Gary's a dick.
Right. And then when he does catch Pokemon, and the first two gyms that he beats, that he wins both of them on technicalities because it's Brock and Misty. And they basically just give him the badges. And so he didn't really have to do anything. He didn't have to fight. And then he... His two best Pokemon that he has, aside from like the starter Pokemon and Pikachu, but he's got a Butterfree and a Primeape. And Primeape wins a fighting tournament and he just leaves him behind. He's like, okay, you belong here. You don't belong with me. And then Butterfree goes and mates and just disappears. And he's like, bye, Butterfree. It was nice knowing you. You went from having 7 Pokemon to 5. And like, why? You're not...
That sounds like a paradise to me.
And that, but that's what I think it is. I think his ideals of what Pokemon training should be is that it should be about learning. It should be about exploring. It shouldn't be about this game of collection, this, like, you know, just hoarding all these things. He builds relationships with his Pokemon and then sets them free. It's why he won't evolve Pikachu. It's, you know, all this stuff because he doesn't want to lose Pikachu. Because apparently when they evolve, they become completely different Pokemon, personality and everything, memories, the whole nine yards. So it's interesting that when you look at it through that perspective, everything that he does is just odd. Like the decisions he makes are very much it doesn't matter if what decision I make, I'm still going to succeed. And like the way everything and Team Rocket, there's always bad guys. And that was the one thing. Ash wanted to be a hero. He wanted to be a great Pokemon master. But and Team Rocket constantly follows them everywhere they go just so he could save the day and be the hero. It's weird. I'm telling you, if you look at it through that lens, it's interesting, to say the least.
It is. I mean, the thought of Ash shedding his mortal coil and living in this other world of reality where he's dead, but like... his soul is, you know, in this other plane of existence, catching Pokemon and living out his fantasies, his true happiness.
Indeed.
Speaking of other worlds, Steven.
Yes.
The first game for this week's releases.
Woo, baby.
Is called Another World.
Another World. Yes, let's get into this week's releases before we...
Another World.
Oh, you're just singing a lot today. You're just singing... You're
Another World boy. For $9.99.
Yes, we got Another World coming to Switch on the 9th. Also on the 9th, we have Pato Box. That's terrifying.
Yeah, what's up with that cover?
I don't know. It seems like a little sexy time happening.
Yeah.
On the 10th,
a duck.
On the 10th, we have 20XX coming out.
Ooh, it's an Andy game.
It is an Andy game. That's like a Mega Man ripoff, isn't it?
Yeah, an X ripoff, to be more specific.
Gotcha. Bomber Crew coming on the 10th. Also on the 10th is Hotel Transylvania 3 Monsters Overboard. So
that's my game of the week.
THQ, I'm sure they had something to do with that from Beyond the Grave. Muddle Dash, Never Out coming as well.
Muddle Dash is actually a really good game.
Yeah?
Yeah. The idea is you play as an octopus.
Okay.
It's 4-player and there's a gift that's always like in the air and they can't touch the ground. It's really funny.
That sounds ridiculous. I love it. And that's for the cool price of $5.39.
Yep. We got to love that price tag.
Go figure. We have Shining Residence Refrain coming out as well. The Lion Song. Neo Geo, the Super Spy. You know, we got to get some Neo Geo up in here.
We really do.
Yeah. Philippix, Phil's Epic Adventure is coming out on the 12th. Also on the 12th is Ghost 1.0. Holy Potatoes, a weapon shop?
Question mark, exclamation point?
Yeah, yeah.
These titles are just so... I gotta buy that game now.
Yeah, go for it. Sure, sure. Johnny Turbo's Arcade Express Raider is coming. Radio Hammer Station. It's coming on the 12th. Star Story, The Horizon Escape, Super Volley Blast. And then the big dog coming in swinging, Andy. I can't believe it's this close.
Here it is.
Project, or it's not Project anymore. Just Octopath Traveler coming on the Switch and the Wayfarers Edition as well.
Which I actually buckled down and bought recently.
Ooh.
It was back for pre-order on Amazon. I was like, it's only $100.
Only.
So I'm getting it.
Captain Toad is also coming out Friday the 13th.
Ooh, spooky.
Spooky Friday the 13th. Yeah, Captain Toad's also coming back out, I guess, on 3DS.
Yeah, it is.
Cool. Oh, not back out. Was it on? No, it wasn't on 3DS.
No, it never was. It was always on. Yeah. It was on the Wii U.
Yeah, yeah. Darts Up, Epic Loon, Super Destronaut DX, and I think that's it.
That's it.
Yep. It's a good week.
So essentially, it's just, it's all about Octopath next week, listeners. That's all you really got to care about.
Get on that.
Yeah. That's the only thing you should care about next week. Maybe Muddle Dash for a party game.
If you got $5.39.
And friends, which we don't. Sad, but true.
Sad times. All right, so that's going to take us into our lead story and our topic of discussion today, which is, Andy, is Retro Studios closing down?
It is, because the internet said so.
Oh, boy.
So this should really be called, just hit the question mark out, and just say, yes, comma, Retro is closing down.
The internet said so.
All right, so according to a website I never heard of called Nintendo Enthusiast, they were some Glassdoor reviews posted on Retro Studios page that were a little off-putting and revealing. Mm-hmm. So if those of you know what Glassdoor is, it's basically you can do some research on a company because former employees can post reviews on a company. What's good about it, what's bad about it, and some recent reviews on Glassdoor left by Retro did not paint a very pretty picture at all.
No.
So some of the highlights here was that upper management is unwilling to seek out help in areas where they are ill-equipped. Oof.
Mm-hmm.
That there's also little to no empowerment, whatever that means.
That's like, listening to the employees as far as their feedback and implementing changes based on those things and stuff like that.
Yes. There's another review that's just called Lost All Their Talent, which says
that was in 2012. So that was in 2012.
It was for myself. There was a recent one that I saw that was really jarring. That seemed like it had to be a troll. So this was posted on July 2nd. So very recently.
Mm.
So, I'm going to read the whole thing verbatim. Here are the cons. They're all but shutting down. The management doesn't know crap about gaming
other than the CEO.
And they are ordered by Nintendo that if by 2019 they don't begin putting loot boxes and microtransactions, they're going to shut them down. The hero here is the CEO who fruitlessly tries to convince Ninty otherwise. And yes, this is not easy. Or Konami, but Nintendo. I think they just forgot how to English at the end there. And then the advice left is to please stop your shady crap. So, I don't know. The whole loot box microtransaction bit seems like it's a troll to me. I don't see Nintendo demanding that from any of their in-house developers. They just gave us the port of DK, Tropical Freeze. Not that long ago.
Right.
I didn't see any kind of... I think it was a free new character with the Funk Man Kong himself.
The Funky Funk Kong. Master. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, this reads kind of odd to me. I really don't see Retro going away. It seems like Nintendo would want to hold on to that company. Plus, you have all these stories about a potential Star Fox racing game, which never really manifested at E3 this year, but you never know. Could still be real. So this could all be just a bunch of hooey.
Do you think that with this whole loot box thing, like that was something that was on the path, and then with EA's debacle of the whole loot box situation, that maybe they pulled back from that, and that may have led to whatever Retro was going to do that was on a bigger scale having to kind of just go away, and that maybe it's just scaling back at this point to go back to the drawing board kind of thing?
I can understand if it was a different game development team we were talking about, because what does Retro really make? They've been making Donkey Kong games since Metroid Prime Trilogy came to an end. What can they really inject a loot box into?
Well,
if it was a game like a Paladins kind of a game, where you would expect to see some sort of loot box transaction like shoved in your face somewhere.
One of my thoughts would be a Destiny-like like much smaller scale, but a Destiny-like Star Fox situation.
Or just do a Destiny-like game, FPS, because these guys made Metroid Prime, so they know what they're doing as far as FPS games go.
Yeah, but if they, they could use the IP, they could do like a Warhawk type. They like I said this a few episodes ago, but like I think that the Warhawk style of game of online massive battles, you could go in tanks, you could go in the air, you could do like doing that with Star Fox characters would be awesome. Like if you can make your own Star Fox character, like your own animal, you choose your animal, you choose your, you know, you make your height, your whatever, you could choose your voice. And then you could do, you know, online battles, like 100, you know, you could do battle royales, you could do whatever, you could do any type of mode. That's something that you could throw a bunch of loot boxes in for cosmetics, right. Cosmetic situations.
Yes. Now, see, here's the thing. Now, at first glance, I'm like, this is garbage. Like, there's just no way that they're shutting down Retro. It just seems like a really dumb idea on Nintendo's end. But then again, we have the fact that Retro is not working on the next Metroid Prime game, Metroid Prime 4, that was passed off to other people.
Right.
Which is yet to be disclosed till this day. It's still a big fucking, you know, super secret as far as they're concerned. So it's like, are they losing confidence in them? Because, you know, what better team to handle a Metroid Prime game than the folks who made the series, what it is. But, yeah.
Well, they also got worse, though.
Yeah, and that could be why they lost, you know, that project. Like, you guys aren't that good anymore, so just deal with this character. Just do the monkey games for us. Just do the DK.
I mean, they're obviously not a large studio, right?
I don't think so.
Like, you know, I don't know.
And also, like, their last big game was just a port.
Right.
Like, what else are they working on?
They gotta be working on something.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, this guy apparently is like their ass and they're shutting down basically. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Then again, you look back at older reviews that say that they've lost all their talent, that they're like a shadow of their former selves. So again, it's a grain of salt-ish, but there might be something here to be cause for concern. But I think I am more in the that this is just it's a nothing. I feel like they are working on something. What that is, you don't know yet.
Are they a first party or are they second party?
I think they're owned by Nintendo. Wait, actually, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, like, they work exclusively for Nintendo. But I feel it's a lot like how Undead Labs was, or Playground, that does the Forza games.
They're first party.
Well, now they're first party, but yeah. Before that, they just made games for Microsoft.
Right.
So I was like, yeah, okay, it's like you're splitting hairs. Like, yeah, you are first party, but there's no, it's not like official. It's like you're domestic partners. You're just not married yet. That's what Retro could be to Nintendo. Like, they've been together for a very long time in bed, but they haven't made that commitment yet.
They started in 98, but they were, I guess, bought by Nintendo in 2002.
Oh, there you go. So, yeah, there's that. So, they are first party. Cool. Yeah. I wonder how well did the Donkey Kong port sell on the Switch?
I think very well. Because it did crack the top 10, I believe.
Then again, I feel like any port on the Switch will always sell well because it's just because.
I mean, how many people in our group, you know, they were all jumping in and playing it for the first time.
Yeah, I just feel like that's how it's going to be for any kind of port on the Switch. It's just going to be better than the Wii U. Like, it's a given.
I think it's really important that Nintendo has big Western studios. Like,
yes.
They need to not let Retro go away. And that's kind of why this is the lead story, because, you know, Nintendo does a very specific type of game, and they do it very well, and they hit broad audiences, but there is a need for them to make very specific Western type games if they want to continue to be relevant and be a viable option for most gamers, not just, you know, mostly kids and adults that have a nostalgia bone for them. I think it would be nice to see retro doing more shooter type stuff, more for a Western audience, get, you know, do something from with Metroid, or like I said, do something with the Star Fox series that's not just a flight game or not just this weird racing game that's being rumored. I think that's a bad idea. You know, they have a niche in the market. They do a good job at what they do, but they could be so much more if they would focus just a little bit, like just two or three major Western studios that are focusing on one game and not a port of something or not helping with assets. Because Retro also helped make Metroid Prime Hunters, and they also helped make Mario Kart 7. Like, they just helped with, like, asset building and stuff like that. Like, that's a waste of a studio, in my opinion. You know, Sony does it probably, arguably, the best out of anybody. Their first-party studios focus on one big, giant blockbuster game. And then that blockbuster game comes out, sells its millions of copies, and then that team grows, almost doubles in size, and then they could work on a sequel to that big blockbuster game and a new IP. And then that's like, that's what Naughty Dog did. That's Insomniac. Well, Insomniac's
and it's always first very, party, but you know, very different kinds of games. Like, there's a very diverse portfolio at play,
right,
in Sony's camp. And I feel if Retro goes away, you lose a very, very, like, big asset, because Nintendo, again, they can do a lot of game as well. There's right. Zeldas, there's Mario games, there's Pokemon, but again, there's that underlying Nintendo feeling to all of that that you can't really right. deny.
The game I'm playing the most is Fortnite right now, you know,
like, and that's not a Nintendo game at all.
Right. Exactly. It's, you know, there's something there. Like, there is an audience there for those games that Nintendo could be making.
I just feel like what they should do, if they're not going to give Metroid to Retro, which they are not clearly, and if they aren't, I don't think they should do a new IP. That might be too risky for them. I think you have so much unused IP that you can just pass over to, like, hey, Retro, work on, you know, I'll say it a million times in this podcast, do a new Star Tropics game, you know, or just do something with any of these existing properties that are on the shelf. That's what I would do with them if they're not going to do a Metroid. Because I think now with the port of Tropical Freeze on the Switch, we don't need another Donkey Kong game for a while, at least on the Switch.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
Yeah. But, you know, as long as they just stay in their roof, I feel like to let them go, I mean, and also over what? Like, I can understand, like, there's, like, some poor management there, or them not being what they used to be, like, back in the day, but I don't think it's grounds to shut a whole studio down.
Well, it could be that they're not, if they can't get the talent to make the games, then Nintendo is very likely to say it's not worth the headache. Why are we recruiting for a market that we are not entrenched in? Like, it's pointless right. for us, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's just, it'll be a sad thing if it actually comes to pass that Retro shuts down. Because, I don't know, they've been around for a very long time. And they've done nothing but quality stuff. Like, when Metroid stopped being in their hands, we got Other M, which was the biggest slap in the face.
Jesus, yeah.
that's worse than Hunters. That was worse than, what was the other game that came out on the 3DS? Metroid Force, whatever the fuck that was called. that last one that came out. I don't know. Something that wasn't fun. Something Force. G-Force. I don't know. G-Spot. Metroid Prime G-Spot. That's what it was.
Yeah, there it was. Retro, pretty prolific. They did some really good stuff. You know who else does some really good stuff? That's Square Enix. Take us into the Nintendo News Report, my friend.
Oh, shit. All right. But before that, please, listeners, give us your feedback on Retro potentially shutting down. Is that a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Will you cry?
What,
like,
do you think?
An anime fan on prom night?
Mm-hmm. Let us know. Email us at feedback@ndspodcast.com. That's feedback@ndspodcast.com.
All right. So, you know who still makes games for the Switch?
Lots of games.
Lots of games. Square Enix is apparently
just the one, well, two games, but yeah.
Well, there's the one game that's coming now.
Yeah, right.
But you know, there was reports last year of Square like amping up its support for the Switch.
They did Spirit Sphere too, right? Not Spirit Sphere. Sphere. What the hell was it called?
I'm like, no.
No, not Spirit Sphere. It was something Sphere. It was like early. It was Lost last year. Sphere. Lost Sphere. Yep, that's the one.
Right, but that was a multi-platform game.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. We're talking about Octopath. That's only coming out for the Switch. So I want to see that kind of support from the third-party devs. And Square apparently is one of them, because apparently BD8, Business Division 8, is currently recruiting for a project for an unspecified Nintendo Switch action RPG.
Action RPG, I am so excited.
Yes, so these guys, this team is known for the Seiken Densetsu series, which is the Mana series, I believe.
Okay.
Secret of Mana,
yep.
They also worked on Final Fantasy Brave Exvius, mm-hmm. which I think is, I've never played that before.
That's the mobile game, that's right?
That's the mobile game,
I think.
And also a game, which I had to Google it, because I was like, what is this game? Bahamut Disco?
Yeah.
I was like, what is this? So I did a quick Google search. It is literally what you think. It's a VR game, and you dance, and there's a Bahamut like summon like in the background, like doing shit.
Sounds sexy.
And you really couldn't think of a better thing to have at a rave than a Mega Flare.
Brave Exvius.
You light that shit up.
Brave Exvius is the mobile game.
Yeah. So again, this is just job postings. So they're working on something for the Switch.
But not sure specifically, yet. they're looking for people to make an action RPG, which is
yeah. So could it be another Mana game? Who knows?
Could be
something brand new, perhaps.
Speaking of something brand new,
or something really old.
Well, it was still in the package.
Something that looks brand new,
indeed.
Is this next bit of news that I was like,
it's a fun little story.
It just really randomly placed in the news bits. I feel like it should be towards the end of the segment.
Well, it's interesting.
All right. Filed under random at NintendoLife.com, a Toys R Us employee, rest in peace, by the way, Toys R Us, you shall be missed, found a Mario Kart 64 box under a shelf. First of all, get your janitorial team in check, because how the fuck do you have a... This is like... How old is this cart now? This box?
That's got to be 20 years. Yeah.
So I can only assume that in the closing down of one of the shops in the UK, and they're doing some cleaning up, they found a very dusty box.
Yes.
For Mario Kart 64.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm pretty sure it was just a stock display box that was found, not an actual... No game was in the box itself.
Can we confirm that?
I think it's confirmed.
Okay. Because it looks like it has cellophane on it.
The report says dusty and presumably empty.
Oh, okay.
And it does look like a display box from here.
It is interesting, though, isn't it?
It's cute.
You would think that would be in the hype zone, but I feel like that was...
No.
It was a cute little thing. Like Toys R Us is gone, very sad. But like, you know,
here's a relic.
Piece of our childhood is literally underneath the shelf. Yeah, yeah,
that's cute. And that's a fun little story. Mm-hmm. I like stuff like that
because
it makes you wonder, like, what's lurking, like, in my old house, like in a crevice somewhere.
Right.
You know, makes you wonder. It's like those guys that find that get like a garage sale.
Yeah.
Didn't like someone buy like a GameCube or a PS2 and there was like money stashed in it
that
or
was
something?
Fake. That was fake. That was fake because then like it was fake, and then somebody made a meme of like, oh, I just bought a GameCube, look what was inside, and then they opened the back and it was like a gun like falls out of the back of the GameCube.
The cure for cancer. I found the Philosopher's Stone and shoved in my Game Boy Advance. Oh boy.
All right, moving along.
Moving on, so to actual news and things to celebrate, actually. So, despite reports of Nintendo stock plummeting after E3, signifying their doom, because they are doomed, Steven.
Doomed.
They are going to tank then no one's going to buy a Switch ever again. That was the worst E3 of all time. Never again.
Yes.
Nope. Nope. Agreed. Nope. Nope. I don't know why Square is making a new game. No one's buying a Switch these days.
No one's going to buy it.
But apparently, according to GameStop execs, Switch sales have doubled after E3. Ka-ching!
Yeah.
So, yeah. There's a lot of action on the Nintendo front post E3. And you know what? I'm not surprised. When you have Smash as your front runner game at a massive trade show like E3, it's going to get buzz. It's going to get interest. So this is not a shock to me at all.
Also, like, a lot of people that don't have a Switch played that at E3. Like, they played a Switch at E3. And I feel like the best way to sell a Switch is to play one. It just is. Like, unless you're going to be a, you know, early adopter online on launch night, like, or just one of those blind adopters is like, oh, Nintendo came out with something, I'm going to buy it. But, like, if you get your hands on it, anybody that's ever played my Switch is like, this is awesome. This is amazing. I can't believe you could do this. This is great. And that sells the systems. And I think E3 having so many of them on display for people to play all different types of games, including Smash, like, it's a big deal. It's a real big deal.
Yeah, not to mention they had the very, really smart move on Nintendo's behalf. They had the Smash Brothers in kiosks at the Nintendo World Store, Nintendo. So yep. What better marketing strategy? You have like one of the hottest games coming out in December, like on display that's playable. Like, okay, I'm just going to buy the Switch like right now. I'll walk 5 feet and buy the Switch while I'm in the store.
Yeah, it's probably less, oh my God, I got to get a Switch. And it's probably more like, you know what? I might as well get it now. There's some great games out there now. I might as well get it now so that I have it for when Smash comes out or whatever.
Yep. So Eric Bright, who is the CEO of GameStop, said that nothing beats Nintendo's overall announcements, that Super Smash Bros. Is jumping at the top of the pre-order list. And they're seeing great reaction from the Pokemon camp for Let's Go, both SKUs. And then, of course, people are trying to get their hands on the Pokeball controller as well. So there's a reaction among Nintendo fans. I think after E3 was, you know, in full swing, up until when it finished, like, Nintendo got a lot of people's heads turning towards that Switch.
Mm.
You know, it's a great device. It's not that expensive. It's a portable console. You know, what more can you ask for?
Indeed.
And now it's got Fortnite.
Yes, it does.
And you know what else it's getting, Steven?
What's that?
It's getting Warframe.
Yes, yes.
We're getting Warframe on the Switch.
Were you a fan of Warframe?
No, I am not.
Oh. Well, I played it.
I don't know. I don't like free-to-play games.
When it first came to PS4, probably around PS4 launch, I think it actually launched with PS4.
It did. Yeah.
I played it, and I thought it was really cool, but like, I wasn't very good at it, so I just stopped playing. But the game has evolved so much since then.
Yes, I keep hearing that it's really a different beast nowadays.
It's co-op.
It gets constant updates.
Yeah, it's a co-op experience. It's something that you and I could definitely play because it's not against other players. It's like, I guess it's against NPCs, but it's like a squad of four, and you're trying to clear levels and stuff. I don't know. It looks really interesting.
Yeah, it's just when it was first released on the PS4, I think when I got my PS4, I had just had The Last of Us Remastered and Destiny and Warframe.
Yep.
And I installed it and I was like, yeah, this feels like what a free game would look and play like. And I played for about 15 minutes. I was like, nah, this isn't for me. And I'm going to install it. But some of my friends rave about it. Like, they go nuts. I'm like, really? Why? But there's something there, apparently. I guess it's just another reason to own the Switch. Just like
longevity.
Just like, apparently, Mario and Luigi might be coming to the Switch. And not the bros themselves, but their actual game franchise, Mario and Luigi. Remember those games, Steven? On the little handheld devices?
One of them came with my 3DS. Partners in Time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny because I always thought about that franchise as like a poor man's Mario RPG.
Sure.
Which when I was playing Smash TV for the Retro Game Club, which we'll get into later on this in the show. I did fire up some Mario RPG. Oh. I start from the beginning. Oh my god, that game was just so amazing.
It is a good game.
Like I when I heard the battle theme for the first time in years, like I wanted to cry because it's so catchy.
Wait, I didn't play it as a youngin when it first came out. I played it later on in my life, like maybe like 4 or 5 years ago, probably. It's a very good game.
Yeah, it's yeah. I mean, I did play it for the first time back because I got my SNES after my PlayStation 1. So again, not when it initially came out, but I was still in my teens when I played this game for the first time. So it sent me back, you know, the way back machine. So apparently, Alpha Dream, who develops this franchise, has been referencing the Switch in their latest recruitment listings.
Woo!
So this could mean that they're potentially planning something for this franchise. It could be like a port for all we know. But yeah, the series that was making these games as far back as the Game Boy Advance, and the latest one was the remake for the of the what is it? Oh wait, wait a minute. Oh wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
There's a they are doing a remake of Inside Story.
Right, yes. That's
next year.
Yep.
But is that for the 3DS?
Yes. I believe so.
Okay. So we might see a little Switch action, like with Captain Toad recently.
Sure.
Could be on both. I'll take it. I'll definitely buy it on the Switch. That's for sure. It just all points to one thing. That Nintendo has a lot more stuff to show us.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah. And, you know, see, I take these kind of announcements with a little bit of caution.
Sure.
Because on the one hand, I feel like Nintendo was just saying, hey, we had an E3 not that long ago. And it wasn't like the greatest E3 ever. We admit that. But there is some stuff coming your way that we've got to reveal for 2018. But what could it be? Like, are we really going to think that they're holding back some huge bombshell announcements that they were just waiting on?
I think one of the biggest things that they're probably waiting on is something to do with Labo. I think they're going to have another kit for the holidays, like something new, like another variety kit, but with different little mini games.
Right.
For sure. I think that definitely is going to happen. There was that rumored Switch like VR glasses that make it a big giant screen.
See, now you're just taking stuff from the hype zone.
There was that, but I'm okay. Well, I don't know the hype zone because you don't tell me the hype zone.
Well, that one's in the list.
Oh no, I don't want to spoil it for myself, so I don't look at that stuff. But yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of things that they could do peripheral wise, like not even just games,
right. But I think that's my whole point is, like, I see a lot of folks are positioning this news bit as, I told you so, we're going to get Mother 3 and 4 in 2018. Like, no, we're not getting those things ever in your life. So at the most recent general meeting of shareholders, the former president of Nintendo, Tatsumi Kimishima, revealed that several unannounced, now here's the interesting word, products.
Yeah.
He didn't say games, he didn't say software, products are in the pipeline. They'll be out before the year's end.
Vitality sensor confirmed.
Yes. And the Virtual Boy 2.0.
Balance board.
Yeah. Switch Fit Plus.
There you go.
And it's not the right time to announce the full lineup. So when you have the fact that we've already had Yoshi slip it to next year, I don't see these products being anything earth-shattering. So I'm going to take a huge bit of advice from me from a few episodes back, and that is to temper my expectations. Because after E3,
sure,
I had to learn the hard way that I had to just slow my roll and know that things are not always what they seem. And I think this is going to be just like, okay, that's kind of cool. Oh, that's neat.
Oh, really? That'll be good for the kids.
Loot boxes?
Oh, more amiibo. That's cute.
Oh, yeah.
We're definitely getting more amiibo.
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
For sure, sure. Mm-hmm. But yeah, would I like to see something that's earth shattering? Yeah, not gonna lie. Bahamut Disco Switch confirmed. Yes, sir.
Confirmed. All right, Andy, that's it for the Nintendo News
Report. That's it for the news.
Before we get into the hype zone, let's talk about some of our partnerships, our charity partnerships. As part of the Proving Gamer network of podcasts, we do have a couple of partnerships that we do. We're partnered up with Extra Life. Extra Life is a charity organization dedicated to raising money for the Children's Miracle Network of Hospitals. If you want to support our team, go to provinggamer.com, click on the Extra Life banner, and donate to our team. You can also join our team and raise money yourself for your local children's hospital. It takes 5 minutes to sign up, and it's just as easy to raise money for it. It's great. We also are partners with Humble Bundle. We have our own Humble Bundle link on Proving Gamer. It's also in our show description, in which you could buy games at a vastly, vastly reduced price, and all of the proceeds go to your charity. And our charity of choice, of course, is, again, Extra Life. So you could double us up, help us out there. It's, again, go to provinggamer.com, click on Extra Life ad, and also our Humble Bundle link if you want to buy really cheap games. And that, Andy, is going to bring us into the hype zone. Take it away, my friend.
Oh, my God. So there were several things.
Several things.
On the docket for the hype zone this week, Steven.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was this very awesome looking Minecraft edition DS, 3DS XL.
Sure.
That was recently released in Japan, which to me just signifies that we're going to get Halo on the Switch.
Halo confirmed.
Next year. Yeah, there's that. And then there was this whole, this eye theater thing, this eye monitor accessory.
Yeah.
So this, it's not VR device that goes on your face, and it makes it seem like you're playing your Switch games on an 120-inch screen.
Right.
My God.
Right.
But I feel like while those things are very, very hype worthy.
Okay.
Because
I was super hype about both of these things. So
yeah, no.
The fact that there's something even hypier is actually really exciting.
We have to go to the source of the hype.
Oh boy!
To where the real news is.
Oh boy!
To those that have their finger on the pulse of the gaming community, the true heroes of video game journalism.
Okay.
And that is Kotaku.
Yes.
Kotaku has penned an article that is titled "Which Mario Kart 64 character sounds the horniest?"
Yes, the hard-hitting questions.
I mean, this to me just signifies that we've reached the apex of game journalism.
Hype zone.
I feel that that IGN, that Game Informer, Polygon,
yeah.
Dual Shockers,
Eurogamer, Close Up Shop. Just
fire staff immediately.
Yep.
And just start lining up outside of Kotaku's offices and get your resumes in order, because this is where the real shit is.
This is where it happens, folks.
Yes. According to Haron Walker, this piece.
Yeah. Okay.
Journalism is about the tough questions.
Yes.
Questions we don't want to ask because the answers to them might be more than we can handle.
Right.
Well, Haron, I'm going to do you one better. I would say we should be focused on which character sounds the horniest.
Mm.
Which one makes us the horniest? That's the real news.
Yeah, you see now.
I think where it has to go, right? I feel like this, while you're, it's almost at peak journalism.
Right.
It's like it's right there. It's on the cusp of greatness, but it just missed the mark.
It needs that push.
But thankfully, that's what we're here for.
Mm-hmm.
And we have nudged it over the finish line.
Right.
And I'm going to say Yoshi.
Okay.
Makes me the horniest.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. What about you, Steven?
Probably DK. Donkey Kong. Yeah. Big burly man.
Is it the bananas?
Big burly guy.
That's the mounds of fur.
Throw me over his shoulder and take me away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the back alley.
For sure. Yeah. Well, this got uncomfortable.
Well, you know, the Yoshi got that big tongue. So, he could tickle my fancy any day of the week.
Whoa.
Yeah, because I, you know, with Yoshi.
You never know where we're going to go in the hype zone, folks. You never know.
All I know is that with Yoshi in my bedroom, I will cross that finish line every single time. First place, motherfucker.
First place.
Yeah. You should see what he does with a blue shell. He can get very creative with that thing.
Boy, does he. Boy, does he.
And that is it for the hype zone. And again, we apologize in advance. So
so you can't be mad at us.
We won't do it again.
You cannot send your feedback to feedback@ndspodcast.com. You can't do it for the hype zone.
But I would like to know which character, Mario Kart character makes you the horniest. And
Mario
why?
Kart, see, it's weird that it's Mario Kart specifically, but whatever. Whatever.
Yeah. Just the original, Is it the SNES
it's
one?
A little weird.
Is it any of them? Who
it's
knows?
A little weird.
Did I read the full article? I didn't. Did I know it's satire? Probably. These are things I don't ask myself because I'm too busy regretting all of my life's decisions when I find myself on Kotaku's homepage.
Yeah. Get your shit together, Kotaku. That's going to bring us into the Retro Game Club, my friend.
Ooh.
It's time to do it. I'm excited. Are you excited?
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about some Smash TV.
Yeah, last week's game was Super Smash TV. I guessed it right on the fifth or sixth question. I believe I got like, I don't know.
You got points.
I got points. I'm at 30. Andy's at 49. But let's talk about Super Smash TV before we get into my Retro Game Club game of the week. So this is basically a room-to-room arcade shoot-em-up. It's not on the vibe that I got from it was very Super Stardust.
Okay, which I actually just bought recently for the PS4 because it was on
sale. Fantastic game. And I could, if I put myself into, you know, back in the early 90s when this game was out, I could really see myself being like, this is absolutely mind blowing because it's got a ton of enemies on screen, an absolute shit ton of enemies. It's got, actual voice acting in it, which is weird. The soundtrack is really cool.
So charming. I love hearing the old grating voice acting effect.
Yeah. It's a little bit, it could just be because I wasn't ready for that type of game. I just wasn't like, I didn't really research Super Smash TV. I didn't play Smash TV as a kid. So I didn't really, I knew it was an arcade game. I knew it was a dual, you know, twin stick, but I just wasn't mentally prepared for that. So I don't know if it's as unforgiving as it just seemed to be to me.
You're playing a twin stick game with, only one stick.
Right.
Or no sticks, really. It's a directional pad and four face buttons, which act like the other stick, which is not very pleasant.
No, but it gives you a lot of room. Well, there's some room for error, basically. But yeah, you're just going from room to room. It's like horde mode in every room. Mow down everybody, collect power-ups, get cool weapons. I noticed that the shotgun from Contra is in there as well.
Yes, the spread gun is in that game.
Yeah, the shotgun. It's a very, very useful weapon, by the way.
Yes, it is.
It's very frantic. It's a very good game. I really enjoyed it a lot, actually. I don't really understand the point of the whole TV thing.
Well, it's a game show.
Yeah, but who volunteers to be murdered like that?
Well, there's, you know, you can win VCRs.
Sure.
And toaster ovens.
I'm talking about the people you're killing.
Oh, well, you know, they're not real.
They all dress the same, so I'm assuming that they're like prisoners and that's just their prison sentence.
Could be, or they're like clones, or they're just, you know. How far did you get? Did you get to Mutoid Man?
No, I just played level one.
Yeah, Mutoid Man.
I didn't say I beat level one. I said I played level one.
It gives you, what, 5 lives to start and like 5 continues, which is like really weird to me.
Yeah, 5 was the new 3 back in the 90s.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can't just pop in a quarter or 20 endlessly.
Right.
So they have to limit your continues.
Sure.
But I wonder if it had like, I'm sure it does though, because I look it up, like weird codes. Like,
yeah,
I'm sure
it does.
Like some cheat codes. I'm sure it's got some. But I got as far as Mutoid Man and I lost at his last form.
Son
he's
of
like,
bitch.
He's like armless and his chest is like all robot guts exposed. He's like firing laser beams out of his eyes. It's a really good port, by the way, because I played that game the most in the arcade growing up. It was at a pizza place. It was next to Mortal Kombat 1. It was that Smash TV side by side. So I would jump between both for hours at a time. And I would say it's a really faithful port of the arcade game. I mean, all the sound effects are there. All the weapons are there. Great. It's really great graphics. Everything just pops off the screen. It's very colorful. And yeah, the voice acting, which is so bad, it's really good.
It gives you some options. You could choose a couple of different rooms to go in at some point.
Yeah, there's like a weird map system, which I totally forgot about. I was like, oh yeah, there's a map. You can like choose your own path, basically.
But it doesn't always give you every choice. Like, you'll walk in a room and there'll be four doors, and in one it'll only open one, and you're like, okay, I guess I have to go that way. And in the other one it'll open two, and you're like,
open two, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, but definitely meant for two players. That's a co-op game through and through.
Really?
Yeah, because that. I'm pretty sure if I had someone playing with me, maybe if it was you, I could have beaten the first boss.
Probably, yeah. Yeah. Because I am the best at video games. It's well documented.
You are. You are the best.
Once we start our Let's Play series, people will see just how awesome I am at video games.
Uh-huh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I can't wait for everyone to see how good our skills are.
All right. So, Retro Game Club. The way it works is one of us gives the other one 10 clues, one by one, and then this week I am giving the clues to Andy. Andy has to guess the game, the retro game that we are going to play and discuss on next week's episode. He gets three guesses. If he uses a yes or no question, he could forfeit a guess to do so. If he gets it right on one question, he gets 10 points, two questions, 9 points, and so on and so forth. Andy, are you ready? Correct.
I am so ready for this.
Okay.
I have no idea how ready I am. I was born ready.
Okay.
I'm ready.
This game was released. Oh, I just got a message. Hold on. Who could it be?
It's from me. I didn't think you'd stop.
I want to make sure it's not.
What is wrong with you?
All right. Because the audience heard that. Because anything that comes through the desktop gets recorded.
So they heard the bleep from Google Chats.
Exactly. I forgot to turn off notifications for your chat.
Yeah, do that.
Okay.
You should do that.
Okay. So this game, clue number one for 10 points. This
for 100 points.
If you can guess it right now, if you can guess the game right now, you'll get 100 points. And it won't count as a guess. Without a clue. and you won't lose a guess. Go ahead.
All right.
You guess.
Final Fight.
Incorrect. Okay. So for 10 points, clue number one. This game was released on four different platforms, two of which were Nintendo platforms.
Oh, I hate the game already. All right. Again, it's an excellent clue. It helps to figure things out, but it's not enough to go on. So I'm going to say we're moving down to clue number two for 9 points.
Okay. There was a PC version of this game in development, but it was canceled before release.
PC version, okay. It was on four systems, two of which were Nintendo systems.
Correct.
Okay. PC version canceled. That happens a lot, I feel, for older games. Definitely not a first-party Nintendo game, third-party-ish. That's what I'm thinking. Okay, great. Let's go. Keep going.
Okay. This game is a part of a massively, massively popular franchise.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to leave the clue at that. It's a this game takes place in I'm trying to phrase it correctly. In a massively popular franchise's world. Put it that way.
So it takes place in a Why am I thinking it's more like a licensed game in that scenario? Mm-hmm. Takes place in the world of a very popular franchise.
Right.
Okay. All right. Okay. One more, please.
The sequel to this game, which came out in 2004, was not released on a Nintendo console.
Huh. Okay. Gamma has a sequel. Mm-hmm. 2004. So at least we know kind of where things are going. Massive popular franchise.
All right. So this was clue number four, right?
Yeah. Okay. I'll need some more. Keep going. All
right, so that would be for 7 points. All right. Yeah, for 6 going. Points.
Keep going.
For 6 points.
Yes.
Okay. You're okay. At the beginning of the game, you are able to choose from 3 races and classes combinations.
Oh God.
So there are 3 like races it. And I 3.
Don't like this. I don't like this already.
For 6 points.
If you're like some fucking Dungeons and Dragons shaman, oh, I will kill you.
Uh-huh.
Hold on a minute. Based in a popular world. The sequel was not on a Nintendo system?
The sequel was not on a Nintendo system.
Okay. It didn't go to PC.
Did not go to PC.
But it was canceled, though, you said.
It was canceled.
It was in development.
Yes.
Okay. Multi-platform game on two Nintendo. See, the two Nintendo thing is throwing me off. Because I want to say, I was thinking Baldur's Gate, but... Because there was that weird, like, they did a game that was like a... Like, it was kind of like Diablo. But, I know that it was on the GameCube, but I don't think it was on another Nintendo system. Oh, wait, was that on Game Boy Advance? Hold on a minute.
Yeah, Google it.
No. There was a sequel. No, that wasn't going to be on PC, though. Okay. Okay, I'm going to ask Harrison a question.
Okay. You're going to skip to the next... you can still get it, but you'll get it for 6 points if you guess it after your...
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Is it in the Baldur's Gate franchise?
Yes.
Okay. All right. What was that game called?
All right.
Oh, okay. Wait. Shit. Dark Alliance? Oh, motherfucker. Baldur's Gate. I think it was Dark Alliance. All right, I was thinking, is it Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance?
Yes, it is.
Woohoo!
You got there.
Yeah. Yes. It was on the Game Boy Advance, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And it wasn't really that gimped. You just couldn't play co-op, really.
It really wasn't. You know what my first line of thinking was, for some reason? I thought of Summoner.
No, okay.
Summoner A was on the PC. It was on the PC and PS2. And there only was a sequel that was on the GameCube.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. And it was a weird sequel.
No, but Summoner 2 came out on PS2.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I feel like it was a Nintendo GameCube exclusive.
No, it came out on PS2. That's where I had it. I had it on PS2. It was like vastly different from the first Summoner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was nothing at all like, because I love Summoner on PS1.
Yeah, it was a good game. Dark Alliance, this is arguably the best Dungeons & Dragons game. It's the one like a lot of people talk about. It's isometric, it is Diablo-like, but you can rotate the camera. In the isometric field, and you can play couch co-op, which is cool. It's kind of like Marvel Ultimate Alliance in that respect.
It reminded me of another fun game that was out at the same time. It was called Champions of Norrath.
Yep.
On PS2.
Yep.
I love those kinds of games.
Yeah, Champions was, I think, after Dark Alliance.
Yeah.
But Dark Alliance was the one that kind of spawned this whole action RPG genre. But yeah, Champions of Norrath, I had that one too. Let me see.
Yeah, there was a second game in that series. There was only 2 games for Champions of Norrath, but those were good games. Oh, ooh, good choice, Steven. Good choice.
Yeah, Champions of Norrath came out in 2004. Good choice.
I only played the game on the PS2, but yes, it was on the GameCube.
It was on GameCube. Yeah, that's where I played. I played it on GameCube.
Yeah.
I was just looking for anything to play on GameCube, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't. It was a time that I wasn't into the you know, quote unquote kiddie games. So like Resident Evil 4 was like perfect. I played a horrible WrestleMania game on there. Yeah, but I actually rented Dark Alliance from Blockbuster and loved it. But I was also playing D&D at the time, so I was kind of a nerd about it. But yeah, Champions of Norrath had more characters. It had more like choices, I guess. And I think Champions of Norrath was up to four players. Yeah, four players. Yep. Yep. With the network adapter. Yeah, that's how I played Champions of Norrath. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, I think it's a good game. All right, that's it. That's going to do it. Baldur's Gate, Dark Alliance on GameCube. I hope you were able to play it in some way or another. I think I actually have it somewhere buried in my game collection. I look forward to it. So yeah.
As do I.
54 points, 30 points. That's it. Let's Woo-hoo! Let's wrap this thing up, Andy.
Yes, I'm tired. Let's go sleep.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go. Nintendo Dual Screens podcast is part of the Proven Gamer Network, Proven Gamer Podcast Network, which includes Trophy Horrors, a PlayStation podcast, and Game Stuff, a general games discussion podcast. You can support Proven Gamer by, of course, reading the articles that Andy and I write, as among our other writers. You could also use our Amazon affiliate advertisements on the website. You click on an Amazon ad and do your shopping like normal, and the website gets a little kickback to help keep the lights on. Also, if you are an Amazon Prime member, that means you're a Twitch Prime member, which means you can get a free, you can use a free Twitch Prime subscription to our Twitch channel at twitch.tv/provengamer. We got a bunch of new streamers on there, and they're doing a great job. So check us out. twitch.tv/provengamer. You can follow the show on social medias. We're on the Twitter and Instagram at NDS Podcast. I am at BatChild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. You could also join our Facebook group. That's facebook.com/groups/NDS Podcast. You see the whole branding thing, NDS Podcast. You could probably just Google that and you'll find it all. We would like to thank our contributors to the show, which Zazu Pitts of Sourno Productions, Dan Colonna of Dinosaur Machines Podcast, he did our logo, Zazu did our theme song, and Andrew, who you could follow on social media at Angimoto, A-N-G-I-M-O-T-O. He does our art, all of our drawings and beautiful podcast art. Again, if you want to be a part of the show, you could email us at feedback@ndspodcast.com. And if you want to support the show, give us your monies, and get all sorts of extra goodies, you can do so by going to Patreon. Our Patreon page is patreon.com/ndspodcast. That's patreon.com/ndspodcast. Andy?
Steven?
Is there anything you would like to tell the kids before we go?
I love the kids. I love all you beautiful bastards. Mm. We have some fun guests coming on the show very, very soon. Be excited. And that's all I want to say.
That's it. Cool. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for listening. This has been Nintendo Dual Screens episode 54 for the week of July 9th, 2018. And as always, please be excellent to each other.